GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The transition underway. President-elect Trump's second pick for Attorney General, Pam Bondi, visiting Capitol Hill, and some of the senators will decide if she gets the job. Meeting with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley and telling him,
should I earn the trust and the nomination from all of the senators, I will do my best every day to work tirelessly for the American people, and I will make you, the president, and our country proud.
President Biden begins his trip to Angola today, a day after he pardoned his son Hunter from drug and tax charges. Lake effect snow slamming seven states, Wisconsin to New York to Michigan, where whiteout conditions led to a 20-vehicle crash on I-94, one driver in critical condition. The Supreme Court today debating whether the FDA unlawfully rejected flavored e-cigarettes over youth and addiction concerns. Justices appeared split, conservatives questioning FDA fairness, liberals siding with regulators. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Two Rivers police confirmed that the body of 7-year-old Jacob Bear was recovered from the West Wind River in Two Rivers just before noon Sunday. A missing endangered child alert was issued after 4:30 Saturday afternoon when Jacob, who is described as autistic, was playing outside and his parents lost sight of him. Several agencies searched for Jacob throughout the night. In a press release, Two Rivers police said, quote, "This tragic event is a reminder of how dangerous the ice can be on our waterways, especially this time of year when it's very thin." Jacob was a second grader at Koenig Elementary in Two Rivers. Gas prices plummeted nearly 13 cents a gallon in Green Bay over the last week. According to Gas Buddy, Green Bay prices are averaging $2.73 today. In Appleton, the average is $2.80, down over 8 cents from last week. Wisconsin's average price for a gallon of gas is also down over 8 cents to $2.77. Patrick DeHaan, the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, expects low prices to remain through the holiday shopping season. He added, potential impacts from tariffs will have no effect until late January, if at all. Last week, the Oshkosh Common Council voted to prohibit alcohol consumption in Opera House Square Park. Councilmember Carl Bulow was one of the dissenters.
Public urination, public defecation, and disorderly conduct are already illegal. From my understanding, we already have, you know, tickets for those. The alcohol use that predicates them, yes, makes them more likely, but now we're getting into a place where I don't think serves our population, especially the unhoused population.
The ban will only be in effect through March of 2025. The council voted 4-3 to approve the ordinance. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Packers get ready for Detroit. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers face the Lions Thursday night at Ford Field. I asked quarterback Jordan Love, was it weird holding a Wednesday type of practice on a Sunday afternoon?
Definitely. It was definitely a weird week, and it was weird to wake up and know that there's other football games today. So it doesn't feel like Sunday, but like I said, we're treating it like a Wednesday.
NBA, the Bucks are now 10-9 after beating the Washington Wizards over the weekend. Up next, they host the Detroit Pistons tomorrow night at Five Surf Forum. The Bucks have won 6 in a row. College hoops, the Badgers with a 74-53 win over Chicago State. Tomorrow night, they'll face the Wolverines at the Kohl Center.
We know now we jump back into deep water Tuesday night with league play opening up, and got a really good Michigan team coming in here. So we'll use Sunday and Monday to prep for that. Get ready to, like I said, jump into Big Ten play.
That's Wisconsin's head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with a few flurries this morning, gradually becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 32. The wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear with a low of 18. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 30 with some light snow tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Oh, hello, Michael. Santa here. I need special gift ideas for my list this year. Any suggestions?
Hey, Santa, how about a Simple Life Hospitality gift certificate? It's the perfect present. Flexible, thoughtful, and truly unique.
Now, there's something different.
Our gift certificates are perfect for birthdays, holidays, or just because, with multiple amounts to fit any budget. Share the joy of this season. Give a Simple Life Hospitality gift certificate. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Ho, ho! Thank you, Michael!
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Luke Mathers joins us for some Tuesday Tangents with Luke and also a What's Worse. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a really good Monday. I know I am because I'm with each and every one of you. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to dive into the news that broke over the course of the long weekend. We've got Kash Patel being appointed to run the FBI. That guy is a wingnut, if there ever was one, and totally unqualified. We got Elon Musk threatening Alexander Vindman with no specifics whatsoever. We got Vindman firing back. We've got Donald Trump appointing Charles Kushner, good old Charlie Kushner, convicted felon pardoned by Trump, who once, this is like reported, okay? Charlie Kushner ordered or like got a prostitute to try to sleep with his, I think it was his wife's or his wife's brother. I will get to the details. It was really messed up. Yeah, that Charlie Kushner going to be the ambassador to France. We've got Pete Hegseth reports dropping over the weekend. When your mom calls you a terrible person in an email, like, I'm inclined to believe your mother, absent evidence to the contrary, of which I see none, as it relates to Mr. Hegseth. And if that wasn't enough, doubling down on the Pete Hegseth sounds like a debauched frat boy with no moral compass. Reports coming out again over the weekend that a whistleblower, when he was working at a nonprofit that's supposed to be supporting veterans issues, was drunk frequently at company events, took his staff to a strip club, had to be pulled down off the stage. I mean, holy cannoli. But wow, I was absolutely blown away yesterday when President Biden issued a blanket pardon for his son, Hunter. I think there was a lot of prognosticating about this, but Joe Biden had said consistently for a very long time that he would not pardon his son. He was asked that question numerous times specifically. He always said he would not pardon his son. He did so late yesterday. Also, just as a point of, you know, like frame of reference, if you're going to do this, why didn't you go ahead and do it on Thanksgiving when everybody was busy doing other things? You know, like you wait until Sunday night before everybody's ready to wake up and talk about news on Monday morning. I don't get it. I would really like to know your opinions about the Hunter Biden pardon. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Should Joe Biden have pardoned his son, Hunter? There's two pending criminal cases against Hunter Biden. One
is the criminal case relating to the gun form he filled out while he was addicted to drugs. And one of the questions when you buy a gun is, are you addicted to drugs? And he checked no, and he was. So he lied on the form. That is a federal crime. The other one is his failure to pay taxes for a number of years while he was in the throes of addiction. He subsequently paid all the tax that he owed with penalties, but there is a criminal case proceeding against him. The pardon goes beyond that. It's not just as to the conduct relating to each of these criminal cases. It applies to any conduct at all, charged, may have been charged, could be charged, don't know about yet, might, whatever, for a 10-year period of time from December 1st, 2014 to December 1st, 2024. The only time in modern American history that I am aware of that a blanket pardon such as that was issued was when Gerald Ford issued such a blanket pardon for any conduct President Nixon had committed during criminal conduct, known or unknown, prosecuted or unprosecuted, during the time that Nixon was in the White House. So definitely, definitely want to get your opinions on all of this. We're going to start with Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, what do you have to say this afternoon? Feel free to comment on the tariff discussion or whatever you'd like. But I do want to hear from you, Mark, about the Biden pardon of his son, Hunter.
Well, I think, you know, Joe Biden is reasonably thinking what's going to happen to his son after he leaves office with the Trump, you know, going after, you know, that I heard from a mag over this weekend. Oh, you know, Trump Biden, the laptop, you know, all Hunter Biden's crimes, you know, Ukraine, his, you know, Burisma. And he's probably, you know, taking defensive action here because who knows what, you know, Trump would be willing to do to Hunter Biden with his really weaponized Justice Department. The Justice Department has not been weaponized against Donald Trump. Donald Trump has been committing crimes consistently for his entire life, and now some of the chickens have come home to roost, but they're not going to roost because of inaction on Merrick Garland and that the inability to, you know, put this guy up for all the crimes he's committed. For the tariff things, I can remember back in, I think it was even an eighth grade talking in history class, the reason we had tariffs in this country in the early days of the Republic is that Alexander Hamilton was interested in getting American manufacturing going. I think one of the stories I can remember reading is that George Washington was upset that he couldn't get an American-made suit to wear for his inauguration. He really wanted to do that.
There was like a black market suit maker that he had to order one. And he wore it. There's like two different pictures of him. There's like the famous one or portraits with his black suit on. That was actually like the legal one that he got from Britain. And then there was an American made fine men's tailor black market suit that he wore in a different portrait. But go on, Mark. Yeah, you're right on point.
And tariffs are just going to cost the American people more and more money. That Donald Trump does not seem to understand this is, and maybe he does understand it, but just doesn't care. And people, any. You know, that was just in history class when I was a kid, and we know that the cost get passed on. That's the whole reason of doing it is to make the, you know, move the manufacture into this country, and to make it more expensive for the imported goods. And for Donald Trump, I mean, Donald Trump is a screaming warning that has given out. You know, that there's one that picked up in Federal 67 where, you know, he's going to be like an Oriental potentate, you know, with a sparkling diadem on his head, and murdering janissaries to issue out from his, you know, at his order. And who knows if he'll even just have a harem in the White House now that the wife is not going to be living in, she's going to live in.
Yeah, it's very problematic, Mark. And just as a point of reference, after Donald Trump's 2017 tariffs and the retaliatory tariffs that were put into place by China, the EU, India, Canada, Mexico, et cetera, U.S. agricultural exports, okay, saw a 76% reduction in their value of exportation to China. That's 76% down. EU agricultural exports went down 42%. So the threat is real. But I do want to, again, get back to this pardon. Cam, always nice to see you on my caller list. What do you have to say about the Biden pardon of his son, Hunter?
That's more than, I think I talked to my mom now this Thanksgiving. Not that she did anything wrong. She was like, I'm watching TV, call later. Okay, so first, I hope you had a decent enough Thanksgiving and you talked about the food that you were going to enjoy.
I did. Thank you, Cam.
That's good to hear. So with the pardon, something that I'm still trying to scrape together information for is point of reference for other presidents when they would typically hand out controversial pardons. And
They do them in a batch. And like, do them in a batch. There's a big dump of pardons. It's happened before. Bill Clinton pardoned his brother. Other Republican presidents have pardoned members of their family, but they usually do it in a batch in the very last days of their presidency. Hunter Biden was coming up for sentencing, I think, next week or the week after. So, and one of the things that Joe Biden wanted to avoid, and I think the timing reflects this, is the pre-sentence investigation report. So before anyone that has been convicted, and remember, Hunter Biden pled guilty to the gun charge. Before the sentencing occurs, the federal government prepares a pre-sentence investigation memo that basically talks about the circumstances surrounding the crime and also the federal government's view of whether or not the person is likely to offend. And it kind of explains why the federal government is asking for X, Y, or Z sentence. Go on, Cam. Sorry, but that's the background there. That's why the timing is what it is.
No, that's great. I appreciate that because it helps give more context without me stammering over it pretty hard. I think what I was trying to figure out was why. So aside from the sentencing for next week being a relevant date, why or what else does he have up his sleeve or his team have up his sleeve right now for what they want to do? Because if it were me, the Hunter Biden thing would be either great to slip under the rug after you do something else that's even bigger, or use it to cover up doing something else. And I don't mean it in a conspiracy hat sort of way, but the Dems, for the most part, have been taking a lot of this transition, laying down, getting kicked in the ribs over and over. And when Trump visited him at the White House recently, he had the old man grin, the knowing old man grin when talking to Trump.
I think there's so much going on in the news with the appointments and things. Again, the timing was entirely about the sentencing that's coming up and avoiding publication of the pre-sentence investigation report, I believe. I have Biden's statement. I'm going to read portions of that because I think it's really important. Joe Biden in the pardon wrote this, and this is the pardon memorandum that usually accompanies most pardons. I've watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted without aggravating factors like use in a crime, multiple purchases, or buying a weapon as a straw purchaser. People are almost never brought to trial on felony charges solely for how they filled out a gun form. Those who were late paying their taxes because of serious addictions but paid them back subsequently with interest and penalties are typically given non-criminal resolutions. It is clear that Hunter was treated differently. All of that is true. Any frontline federal prosecutor will tell you they have rarely, if ever, most of them never, ever, ever have charged a standalone gun form crime as what happened in this case, and the same for non-payment of taxes so long as you have made the federal government whole. I'm going to read a couple of other really important portions from Joe Biden's statement. When we come back, we're going to continue to take your calls and thoughts about the Biden pardon of his son, Hunter, that came down last night. Right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Your thoughts and texts next on the Joe Biden pardon right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, yeah, yeah. Paint a picture with my hands. Oh, and back and forth we sway like branches in a storm. Change of weather still together when it ends. That may be
from De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you would rather watch than listen, you can always find the show streaming on Civic Media's YouTube channel. You can also check out my handle at Maggie Dawn Show on the thing that used to be called Twitter that is now better known as Elon Musk's toy. You'll find it there. We also are streaming on Facebook at Maggie Dawn Show. You can check it out on all those places. You can see my face reacting to news, and you will then understand why I do not play poker, because I have no poker face. You see exactly what I'm thinking right on my face all day long. You can also see Cardi in action behind the board. Give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What do you think about Joe Biden pardoning his son, Hunter? Not just pardoning him for the conduct related to the two criminal cases currently pending against Hunter, which as of the pardon last night are no longer pending against Hunter, but for any conduct covering the period of time from December 1st, 2014 up through December 1st, 2024. Again, for reference, the only time that I'm aware of a pardon of that breadth being granted was by Gerald Ford following Nixon's near impeachment and his resignation. Want to share with you some of the text messages coming in. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. Before the end of the show, maybe with Dominic, I'm going to tell you what I think about this because you may be surprised. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What do you think about the Joe Biden pardon of his son, Hunter? Let me go to the text lines. Matt from Middleton, why wouldn't Joe Biden pardon Hunter with the way Donald Trump and the MAGA movement is talking about retribution and silencing dissent? It's a valid point. I mean, Donald Trump and now Cash Patel, head of the FBI, and certainly Pam Bondi as the attorney general, not expected to do anything but what Donald Trump wants. Donald Trump wants to get even with Joe Biden, and his son Hunter would be a very useful tool to get even. From the WMDX text line, thank you, new texter from the 608. Biden immunized his son to protect him from Trump going after Hunter simply to get at Joe Biden. There's no weird drug charges or anything else that can harm his son anymore. I am fine with this since Trump has voiced retribution as his objective. Tammy from Virginia. Thanks, Tammy. I would have been disappointed if President Biden didn't pardon Hunter. Thank you so much for listening and texting in, Tammy. Texter from WMDX in the Madison area. My understanding is that if you accept the pardon, that means you're guilty. Am I wrong? No. In fact, once pardon, like the recipient of a pardon basically has no say over whether or not they get the pardon. Now, Hunter Biden had pled guilty to the gun charge. He clearly did not pay his taxes. So as to those charges, there was nothing really up for debate about whether or not he did the stuff he was charged with. But no, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are pardoned. It means that you might be, mean that you did it. It means that you're worried about what you might get in trouble for next, generally in the case of this sort of blanket pardon. Lama from Addison saying, as for the pardon, I wouldn't have given it to Hunter months ago. Cam from Appleton pointing out he has to stop watching the show because he will make funny little gifs of all of us doing the show, which I absolutely love. Cam, keep them coming. Folks, if you want to give your 2 cents on the Biden pardon, maybe even a nickel, dime, or quarter's worth, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Matt from Madison, what do you think? Should Joe Biden have given the pardon?
Yeah, I do, Maggie. And in fact, I say go one more or a couple more, actually. I say start short-circuiting all of these potential vengeance tours. Pardon Pete Buttigieg. Pardon Mayorkas. Pardon Anthony Fauci. Just start a list of all the people that MAGA has claimed for 2 and 3 and 4 years that these people have done something with no proof, mind you. Just throw out pardons, whether there's anything there or not. I don't care at this point. Like, that can be Biden's own form of retribution.
Yeah, so I've heard folks make this argument where I'm going to ask Dom these same questions because I think that would seem to be, it seemed the Hunter pardon sort of is a head faint towards maybe Joe Biden is going to do something like that. Are you worried, Matt, about that setting precedent? Because if Joe Biden does it would be really hard to criticize Donald Trump if he engages in wide-reaching criminal activity and then issues blanket pardons to everybody who's a co-conspirator because he enjoys presidential immunity as he's a king, so says the Supreme Court of the United States. But do you worry about the precedent that this might set?
Well, I would argue the precedent has already been set with January 6th, with Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, Kushner, in fact, anybody he thought that could protect him, he already pardoned. So
he hasn't actually pardoned the January 6th defendants yet. Right. And certainly the Steve Bannon pardon was gross. So was the Roger Stone pardon. But he has refused in the past to issue pardons. For example, we know that Matt Gaetz shopped for a pardon. Trump didn't pardon him. If we encourage like this, you know, one of the things that concerns me is that we are setting up something that frankly incentivizes a very transactional approach to government service. If Donald Trump is only appointing loyalists, the transaction is you do what I say. I will make sure that you're never criminally prosecuted under federal law and you will get all of the, you know, the cookies and riches from all of this. Does this worry you at all?
I mean, it does, but the problem is with us, we're not actually committing the crimes. With them, they are so criminally, it's in their blood that they still fall under state charges. They still fall under civil charges. They still fall under, like, being sued by, you know, people in the general public.
Civilly,
so they're not necessarily. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Maggie.
Yeah, I thanks for the call, Matt. We're going to continue this discussion. Of course, we've got, in case you missed it, coming up with Dom Salvia after the bottom of this hour. Do not go anywhere. We're going to continue this discussion. Brian, I see you on the line. Please stay there. I'm going to go right back to this. We're going to talk about the precedent. We're going to talk about what sort of risks you accept when you run for office and whether or not that same analysis applies to public servants up and down the different governmental jurisdictions. All that and so much more coming up next. We'll also talk Cash Patel right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm going to be joined by Dom next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join the conversation because it's always a great conversation in real news right here on Civic Media. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Thank you for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires on this Civic Media station. The Patriotic Millionaires are financial supporters through paid advertising on some Civic Media stations.
With winter weather comes some unexpected house guests looking for cozy shelter, and they're not exactly welcome. Wildlife expert Marcus Mueller, owner of Skedaddle Humane Wildlife Control, explains that as the temperatures drop, critters like mice and squirrels are eager to find warmth in our homes.
So if you think about what an animal's looking for, it's looking for that shelter. Different animals require different shelter needs. So cavity nesting birds that are typically going to be nesting in holes in trees will look at a wall vent on our home, like a perfect little wall cavity or a tree cavity to build a nest in. Similarly, a squirrel is going to be building a small nest out of leaves in a tree. A soffit space that's somewhat protected from the wind and the elements can perfectly replicate that. A lot of bats are going to be looking for caves to roost in over winter. Our attics provide the exact same type of shelter that a cave might. So it's kind of finding that analog to what they're looking for out in the quote-unquote nature and finding it in our home.
That's Marcus Mueller, owner of Skedaddle Humane Wildlife Control, along with us. I'll have more agriculture news right after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world. To integrate a global ag and energy supply chain. To advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world. To build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. Domino's Pizza has funded scholarships for FFA students for 7 years. This year, the company is expanding its scholarship program for the 2024-25 cycle. They will be funding 10 scholarships worth $10,000 each for FFA members pursuing a college degree in agricultural education. FFA high school seniors or FFA alumni in college can apply for the scholarship through FFA's website by January 9th. One application will give access to multiple scholarship opportunities totaling nearly $2.5 million. Winners will be notified in late April, and funds will be distributed in July for the fall 2025 semester. You can learn more about that as well as find other agriculture news on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter, as you'll receive 5 stories delivered to your inbox every day. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a flurry tonight. Lows upper teens to 20. For tomorrow, mainly cloudy. A high around 30. Some flurries and snow showers possible Wednesday, high in the mid-30s and becoming windy. Colder Thursday, before warming through the weekend. Right now it's 33.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom will be back live for all the political talk you missed. No more looking at how the sausage gets made, except for the government. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Beautiful girls all over the world. I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted. They got nothing on you, baby.
Yeah.
Nothing on you.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
They've got nothing on you all because I am getting the absolutely best text messages. You are each so thoughtful and you make this show better every day. Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn. If you are just tuning in, this is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we are always about real news and great conversation. The conversation this afternoon being joined by my little buddy and friend, Dom Salvia. He's got the fabulous show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Welcome back to the show, Dom. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Maggie Dawn, it is a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Good to see you too, Cardi, and everyone. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Time to get back at it, Maggie.
Gobble, gobble, my friend. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, yeah, too. We are talking about the Biden pardon because
wow.
I have to tell you, I just did not expect this. I thought Joe Biden was going to let the process go. I took him at his word. What do you all think? 855-752-4842. We've had a ton of text messages. If you're on the lines, stay there. I will get to you as soon as I can. Steady Eddie texting in from the 608. Maggie, I do not like Biden saying he would not pardon his son Hunter and then doing so. While I understand the reasons for the pardon, Joe Biden should have remained silent on the subject of a pardon if there was any chance he was going to change his mind.
Right! Yes.
Duh.
Listen, I totally can get his position as a father, knowing that his son did some wrong things, certainly. And it seemingly that the Republicans just weren't letting it go. I mean, I get all that. But it seems to me just another old rich white connected guy taking care of their own. And everyone else can just, you know, go pound sand. And it really bothers me that the guy would actually make the point to your texter's point. Nope, not going to do it. And he was kind of sassy about it when he was asked initially. Then he replied,
I've already said, what are you asking me for again?
Apparently you need to ask three times, like, where's Dr. Evil's secret lair? I mean, it's just so bothersome to me. Again, I get it as a father. I get the position. I get the circumstance. But why put yourself out there on a ledge? Oh, I guess it's just, you know, more politics, more people saying that thing because it was politically expedient at the time. But then you go ahead and do it anyway.
He was betting on either himself winning the election or Kamala Harris winning the election, right? Like, by the way, interesting, since Kamala went to the top of the ticket, it's like the word Burisma hardly ever got mentioned. Isn't that weird? Funny.
Yeah.
But like, all of the kidding aside about this, and it is fact that if Hunter Biden were anyone else literally on planet Earth, he would have never been charged with this stuff. Like, it just wouldn't. These aren't the sorts of things that get charged criminally under these fact circumstances. They don't. Guess what? Like, here's my take on this, and we're going to go to the phone lines. I'm going to take more texts. I think this was a grave error. I do not support the pardoning of Hunter Biden. And here's why. First of all, Hunter Biden did wrong. He did these things. Yeah. When you commit crimes and your parent is one of the most famous people on planet Earth and a politician who runs as someone who supports our legal and democratic norms, as someone who is an institutionalist, right, who runs to try to defend the rule of law. Your son put himself in harm's way. Yes, he's being treated differently than anybody else. And if he weren't your son, I would actually support the pardon. But he is your son. And you promised us that you wouldn't do this. You promised that you wouldn't confer a benefit on someone simply because they happen to be your son. Because there are thousands of cases out there where the government has overcharged people to extort pleas, right? Like, there are tons of things. Again, Hunter Biden is an exception. He never would. Someone like him under the same facts wouldn't have been charged. But government overreach and criminal prosecutions is how this happens, right? So setting all of that aside, for me, my take is that when you want to sit in the big chairs, you raise your hand and you say, I want to be president of the United States, you have to take that with all of the crap that comes with it. And unfortunately for his son who committed these crimes, that was going to mean some jail time. Now, as to the other conduct, that's the part where I think we need to have a little faith in our judicial system, right? And though that may be scary, it is the system that we have. If you're going to defend the rule of law, you don't get to get the get out of jail free card, because now Trump, there will be no retort to the pardoning of January 6th insurrectionists. There will be no retort to blanket pardons given to anybody in Trump's orbit for being loyal. Like, what's the response?
Well, of course there's a retort, because if you're going to hold Joe Biden to that standard, we can still hold Donald Trump to that standard. That's the retort. It's not okay.
But you're we're not. Joe Biden. But here's the thing. That's not the retort. He pardoned his kid.
And it was bad when Joe Biden did it. And if Donald Trump, you're going to pardon your seditious conspirators, that's also a bad thing. I have a problem with both of those actions.
Of course.
But one does not relate to the other, Maggie. Donald Trump's going to do what Donald Trump's going to do,
of course,
regardless of what Joe Biden does.
Of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't, but it provides the fig leaf of cover for those that don't want to spend more than 30 seconds ever thinking about an issue. It is the fig leaf. And as disgusting as that may be, the factual distinctions that we can make for days won't matter to a huge segment of Americans. That's why this is a problem. If you say you're not going to do it, you say you're for the rule of law, that you'll respect the process, the judicial process, you don't get to do this because your son put himself in peril.
Well, you do get to do it because you're the president. And it doesn't matter because Donald Trump's going to do what Donald Trump's going to do anyway. The fig leaf? Come on. There's no fig leaves. These people are out in the open. They are boldly saying what they want. Hell, he's putting a QAnon conspiratist, a conspiracist for the FBI. I mean, there's no going back from this. Now, as analysis, as we can observe what's going on, we can be consistent in our criticism to both Biden and eventually for Trump if that were to happen. But what is Joe Biden on his end? What has he got to lose? Trump's going to do what Trump's going to do anyway. May as well take care of his family
No, because this is exactly the thing that bothers me. When politicians put their personal interests over their oaths of office, it is a problem for me. And it's different when it is your son and you are the president. And we start to think about things like, is he going to pardon himself? Is he going to issue blanket pardons to Mayorkas, Fauci, Jack Smith? Where does it stop? If a president is a king and we can now do blanket pardons and they use this, though it is factually distinguishable, right? Easily so. Though the level of conduct and criminality is completely different, and you and I will criticize the heck out of the Trump right. pardons, right? But it opens this door to, well, if it's good for my family and I think it's an injustice, I can overrule the rule of law. And when you have a president who's a king, who's hiring people based on personal loyalty, that's challenging to me. And I do believe in the rule of law. I do believe that Joe Biden shouldn't have pardoned his son and shouldn't pardon Fauci or Jack Smith or Mayorkas. Let the system do its job. And it is scary. We're at the precipice. But some of this has to happen so Americans can see it in real time. You sign up for these jobs. You sign up to be elected officials. This is part of the peril in these times. Sorry to say. I think one of the side things that this becomes really scary, regardless of how Trump approaches it, is the chilling effect that this is going to place on, frankly, like governmental recruitment. And I don't mean the pardon itself, but I mean the idea, if Trump does in fact go after people at all levels of the government, if Kash Patel weaponizes the FBI to do exactly the thing that they've been criticizing Democrats for doing, which is a bogus argument, who the heck is ever going to want to work in federal government? One of our other texters made an excellent point that it does, and a caller made this point as well, that it leaves open state-level prosecutions and civil penalties. And I think that is important. That's what we're seeing, you know, in New York and in Georgia. We'll see how that goes. If you want to get in on the conversation, 855-756-6349. Civic 855-752-4842. Cam from Appleton saying, I don't think Biden lied. I think he genuinely changed his mind. He should have said that then, which he didn't in his statement. Luann from Wanderoos says, if Trump can give an ambassadorship to a pardoned person, I think he was right to pardon Hunter, because as you said, anyone else would not have been charged. John from West Dallas, Merrick Garland and Joe Biden and the Democrats followed precedent. They should have charged Trump like the January 6th folks back in 2021. Maybe. Yeah. Merrick Garland failed. I mean, he will be judged harshly by history. John from Milwaukee says, liberals now have to shut your mouths when Trump pardons any or all January 6th hostages. No, I won't. Those people should be subject to the rule of law as well. I will object to that, just as I'm objecting to Joe Biden's pardon of Hunter. And by the way, Joe Biden has never said, yep, I'm going to weaponize the Justice Department and the rule of law to persecute my enemies. Trump has said that. That at least is an observable factual difference. Steve from Milwaukee, Dems have way higher standards for themselves. They shouldn't. Totally different standards for the Republicans and the Democrats. I love your plan words there, Steve. Patrick from the 608, there will be absolutely zero accountability for Trump pardoning January 6ers. Therefore, Biden's pardon means nothing to anyone anymore. Sadly, Maggie, the rule of law has also already been proven to mean nothing. Steve says, I hate the double standard. He's from the 262. Matt from Germantown. Maybe Joe will pardon Donald next. I've actually thought about that in a Gerald Ford Nixon kind of approach, but who knows? Jim from Appleton, the system was not allowed to do its job the second Congress injected himself into the case of Hunter. I do think the congressional investigation, which has turned up absolutely no direct evidence of any corruption, was totally bogus. Brian, you have been incredibly patient on the phones. What do you think? Should Joe Biden have pardoned Hunter?
I say good for Joe Biden. It's about time. November 5th changed the country. That horse is out of the barn. He needs to pardon anyone that Cito Mussolini or the jumping bean publicly threaten. And tell your friend Albaugh, because I was listening to him making the same case, that I'm going to stop listening to you guys if you keep saying Fox, what we have to worry about what Fox will think, and we're setting precedents that they will follow. And then the next time I hear you on the radio, I'm going to stop listening again.
Oh, no, Brian, don't listen. Just disagree and call. This is one of those things that I don't know if I'm right, and I will fully take that on. I think this is a really tough call. I think Joe Biden himself was totally conflicted about it. I think it's why it rolled out this way. And if the president of the United States felt some hesitancy about it, you know, there are reasonable arguments on both sides. Another texter from the 262, this makes no difference at all because Trump's going to do what he's going to do. Biden's out the door and Democrats have had for so long been handicapped by idealism and the need to play offense. Let me be really clear about this. I have always criticized Democrats for bringing knives to gunfights, okay? That needs to stop. But degrading the rule of law and the judicial process is not a solution, right? Like degrading and debasing our political discourse even further by Democrats isn't going to help. We need to take the fight to Republicans, but we also need to protect norms and institutions. It's a difficult process. I think we need to get much more clear about the fleecing of the middle class and working people in this country. That needs to be front and center all of the time.
And thank you for saying that, Maggie. Again, stepping back from this, even when you talk about the folks that were down in D.C., how privileged of you be able to have the money and take the time off to go try to overturn the government. You know, and then you see pardons going on. Maybe Trump does it. He pardons everybody. Well, what does that say about those folks who don't have the resources, who the heavy hand of the DOJ comes down, and as you say, they charge them so high they make them cut a deal. It is just injustice for them.
The rule of law applies to you if you ain't got no connections and no money. That is the breaking of the U.S. justice system, the screwing of the middle class from a tax perspective and working people, and the screwing of all of us from a justice system that doesn't have us all play by the same rules if you're rich and connected. We're going to come right back more with Dom and this little episode of In Case You Missed It. I love a heated argument. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us. 855-75-CIVIC. Back in a moment.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select its new chair. The race for that role might just have a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is a potential candidate for chair of the DNC. A source close to Wickler said he is seriously considering running. One Democratic source characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the position. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 13th. A lot can happen between now and then, but this story will certainly be one to watch for Democratic politics in the state of Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
I hope you're looking for a new love. I always am, and I love your phone calls. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can catch any of the show you may have missed by going to civicmedia.us/Maggie Dawn Show. I am joined this afternoon, as I am every Monday at 3:30, for In Case You Missed It with Dom Salvia. I almost missed it last night. I was kind of like checked out on the news, and then the alert came that Joe Biden had pardoned his son Hunter, not just pardoned him as to the two criminal actions currently, well, no longer at the time, proceeding against Hunter, but it was a blanket pardon covering any potential criminal conduct over a 10-year period of time.
Up to yesterday, man. Up to yesterday.
What was Hunter doing over the Thanksgiving weekend that he needed a pardon for?
I want to party with that cowboy.
Yeah,
so he announced
man.
It what like during Thanksgiving. Hey, son, good news. I'm getting you a pardon. And dude's like run out the door getting hookers and blow. Like, I got to go.
This
thing comes on Sunday. I better get all my action in.
Blows his sobriety all the heck. Here was what Joe Biden wrote. Here's the truth. I believe in the justice system, but as I have wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process and it led to a miscarriage of justice. I hope Americans will understand why a father and a president would come to this decision. Let me be clear. I disagree with it, but I absolutely understand it. I absolutely understand it. And if he was going to do a pardon at all, I also would agree, if you're going to do the pardon, then you give your kid the blanket pardon, right? Like, you don't go halvesies, because then they could try to
charge him with something else.
Pun intended, some other crime. And let me be very clear here. If the federal freaking government wants to charge you with a crime, unless you have been locked up in a convent and literally never done anything wrong, The government can usually find some stuff to charge you with if they take a hard enough look. And with a guy like Cash Patel running the FBI, I mean, do we remember what happened with J. Edgar Hoover and the secret tapes? And, like, he went after Martin Luther King Jr. Like, a lot of this stuff happens in secret. The FBI oversees the FISA warrant process. Like, I'm a little freaked out. Joshua from Wausau says this, probably so that the whole Biden family can escape the United States when he gets office out of office on January 20th, so Trump doesn't try to off all of them. Like, sad but true, but apparently the Supreme Court says, we're good to go. If Donald Trump thinks that they're like an enemy of the state, that's fine. Let's go to the phones. Y'all have been very patient. Robert from West Dallas, should Joe Biden have pardoned Hunter?
Under normal circumstances, I would say no. If this was the Bush administration or some type of normal, moderate Republican, no. But in this case, with the Trump administration, you know, the era of we're going to put people into jobs that they're unqualified for, not based on resume or experience, but more based on how loyal they are to me or will they carry.
Well, apparently there's also a prerequisite that someone is engaged in some sort of sexual assault-y type of thing, because there's a whole bunch of them that check that box on the application.
Yeah, and really what I think they should do is he should be pardoning people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and Adam Schiff and anyone that was involved with the January 6th. People that Trump or in his administration said they're going to go after, they should be blanketed pardoned right now.
Have we abandoned all faith in our court system? I mean, a Trump-appointed judge in the Eastern District of Wisconsin oversaw the 2020 election case brought by the Trump campaign and rejected it in whole cloth, was like, this is all stupid and there's no evidence. What are you talking about? Get out of here. Like, do we really abandon it?
No,
Don,
absolutely not. That is so unbelievably troublesome. And I know what you said before, Meg, and I disagree with that. I don't think they can come up and find something to charge me with, at least within the statute of limitations. If I'm any of those cats, I'm like, bring it. Bring it. You want to jam it up? You want to come after me? Let's do this. Let's get it on. Let's use it. Use the systems as they are, because I'd be very happy to defend myself.
Well, here's two things about that. One, I didn't say that they'll convict you, but they can absolutely make your life a living hell and bankrupt you. Okay? Like, that can happen. So I want to be clear about that. I believe that if they want to bring these cases, most of them will go down in a blaze of glory. And I'd like, you know, any of the billionaires who have done anticipatory obedience to start cutting checks to a legal aid fund for all the good government servants that are going to be targeted by the next Trump administration. Wisco Paul, what say you? Should he have pardoned Hunter?
Well, under normal circumstances, like your last caller said, a moderate Republican, a Republican president like Bush, or let's say Romney would have got in. I don't think he should have. But in this case with Trump, yes, because this guy is off the rails already. He hasn't even taken office yet. So, yes, because who knows what you know what, if this Cash Patel gets ahead of the, what, FBI or I don't know where
who
we're
going. Who knows what's going to happen? Thanks so much, Wisco Paul. Always good to see you on my caller list. Roger from Wanakee getting the last word today. Biden should have resigned, handed the keys to Harris. She would have been the next president if for only 45 days, and then leave the pardoning apparatus to her. That is a hot take from Roger. Thank you all. Stay tuned for Dom Salvia. He's up next. I'll be around tomorrow with Dom for a little overtime at the top of his show. Thanks for listening. Happy Monday, everybody. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, we're live from our Oshkosh studio with Dale Anderson of the Military Veterans Museum.
Plus, we'll hang out with Pat Tracy from Discover Oshkosh. Man, I hope we make it on time.
Me too.
Join us.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.